I'm reading from Matthew 3, 13 through 17, New Revised Standard Version. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And then Jesus had been baptized. Just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This ends the reading from the New Testament Gospel of Matthew, the Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. With this new year, we're starting a new series, and I'm hoping it will help sort of chart a course for your life in the new year, for certainly our life together as a church in this new year. I'm hoping it will present the faith, your life of faith, which really should be your whole life, in a new light, in a new way. And so I'm speaking of it in terms of a revolution. And we forget to think of it, or maybe we never knew, as revolutionary. And so I hope that, again, this will open our eyes either as a reminder or as a new revelation of the revolutionary nature of this faith, of this life of faith. And so now it's about 12 score and a half years ago that our fathers and mothers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all people are created equal. And the birth of this nation was a revolution. As we know, as we've studied in history, it was revolutionary ideas and revolutionary acts that gave rise to who we are as a nation. And this revolution, of course, centered around those ideas, those acts, centered around the radical notion that we could have a government of the people and by the people and for the people. And we are continuing to wrestle, hopefully together more often than not, with what that means, with what that looks like. Now, about 100 score years ago, our Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit brought forth into this world a new kingdom, also conceived in liberty, and also dedicated to the proposition that all people are created equal, equally loved, and equally wanted by God. And this revolution, this kingdom, came into being because God took on flesh and made himself one of the people, by the people, and for the people. And this was a revolution that we are continuing to wrestle with all around the world, what this means, what this looks like for all humanity, for all creation. Now, the shot heard around the world for this revolution, what really kicked off this revolution, was this moment that we've just read about today, this moment where Jesus of Nazareth, the small town guy like I am, like some of you are, small town person, a local person from a town, from like a county, from something like a state, from like a country, just like we are. He grew up there. He was born. He grew up. He works there. And one day he shows up, and this may or may not have been his first time here, but he shows up to the Jordan River where a relative of his, John, son of Zechariah, known as John the Baptizer, He himself has begun something of a revolutionary ministry, and it is already off the ground and is pretty popular and scandalous and revolutionary. And so Jesus comes to him. Now, this John, well, let's back up. At the Jordan, John is calling the people to the Jordan River, which in a sense was the beginning for God's people, right? They had to cross the Jordan River to come into the promised land, to inherit the land that God has promised, from which they would be a light to all the world. They would be God's revelation to all people by being the people of God. And we know they struggle, lots of highs and lows with what that means. And so John is calling them back to the beginning for this ministry of repentance. Repentance meaning change directions. Leave behind the people you have become and come back to the people God has called you and is still calling you to be. The people of God, a light to all the nations, that all people might be the people of God. And so in doing this, John has aligned himself with one of the prophets, with all the prophets in this prophetic tradition. But specifically, John has aligned himself with the prophet Isaiah in this moment. We've talked about this in recent weeks, that John has sounded the call from Isaiah 40. And I can't commend to you enough that chapter of the Holy Scriptures, Isaiah 40. And in that, Isaiah says, there will be a messenger. God says, I am sending my messenger before you, and he will sound the call, prepare the way for the Lord. And so John embodies this. He considers himself the forerunner, this messenger, who himself is preparing the way for the Lord and is also sounding the call to all people, prepare the way for the Lord. And so here is John in line with this prophetic tradition. Jesus now comes on this radical shot heard round the world day for baptism, and he aligns himself as the continuation and the fulfillment of that prophecy. Because the prophecy says in Isaiah 40, prepare the way for the Lord, because the Lord is coming. And when he comes, Isaiah goes on with these beautiful images, one of which is, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will lead his people like a shepherd. He will hold the lambs close to his heart. Comfort my people with this news. And so there is Jesus. John is the messenger. Prepare the way for the Lord. And Jesus now lines himself up with this. Indeed, I am the Lord, the shepherd, who will lead the people, who will hold the lambs close to the heart of God. And not only that, but Jesus comes on this miraculous revolutionary day, and he fulfills John's ministry. He inherits and fulfills John's ministry of repentance and renewal. Turn away from the old way. Come be part of God's new way. And he takes up John's message, the kingdom of heaven is here. And let's be clear about Matthew's use of the term kingdom of heaven instead of the other gospel writers tend to say kingdom of God. And so people get misunderstand because of this, thinking it means you inherit the kingdom or you get to be part of the kingdom when you die and go to heaven. But Matthew, perhaps not wanting to profane the name of God, use the word God, but also especially probably wanting to paint a picture, present a picture of what is happening. The kingdom of heaven, where God rules and reigns unquestioned in all power, that kingdom is breaking through into the world. And so let's not make the mistake of thinking we're only part of the kingdom when we die and go to heaven because it's the kingdom of heaven. No, the kingdom of heaven, the message is at hand, is here. So Jesus is the revolutionary. And he is leading the kingdom revolution. Now, the birth of the kingdom revolution, the birth of the revolution, technically happened with the birth of Jesus. We've just been talking about that, right? Because, and don't miss this, God taking on flesh and becoming a fully human person, to live a fully human life, is the most revolutionary idea and the most revolutionary act in the history of the world. But officially, the revolution begins with Jesus' baptism. Because we have this image of Jesus in the river with his relative John the Baptizer. No need to repent. Jesus has nothing to repent of, no sins to be forgiven. But it is the right thing to do, to be part of God's people, to begin this revolution. This, again, will be the shot heard round the world. This is what kicks the whole thing off. And what happens is we have Jesus being baptized. We have the veil between heaven and earth somehow parting. The voice of God, the Father, affirming, yes, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And we have the Holy Spirit in some sort of recognizable form coming and landing upon Jesus, alighting on Jesus, anointing this one, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so in that moment, at the beginning of this revolution, we have the affirmation or the revelation of Jesus' identity and Jesus' authority, Jesus' mission. This is who Jesus is, and this is what Jesus is about, being the Son of God. But that's not all. So don't miss that image and that meaning. But this is the path of the revolution for anyone who would be part of it. The path of the kingdom revolution leads through the waters of repentance into the keeping of the triune God. Remember when you were a kid and you'd get out of the bath and your mom or your dad would wrap a towel around you and then wrap you up in their arms maybe? That's what we're talking about. Hold on to that image. You are coming through the cleansing waters into the embrace of God. And that's why, among other things, Jesus tells us at the end of Matthew's gospel to baptize people, as we just did with Korah, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not a magical incantation. It's not a secret code. It is a new reality. Jesus is saying, bring people through the waters of baptism into the new reality of the triune God. You get to participate in the life and love of God. And so we go the path of revolution, following the revolutionary through the waters of baptism into the triune embrace. The embrace of God means nothing less than breaking the shackles of the tyranny of sin in your life and leaving behind, rebelling against this world's kingdom of power, of money, of pleasure. And here's what I mean. Money, pleasure, and power are the classic pursuits. And we sit here today, a lot of us, very easily saying, I'm a good church-going American. I am not caught up in money and pleasure and power. And we can point to all kinds of things in the news this week, today probably, God help us, of corrupt, overt, sinful pursuits of money and material wealth, or pursuits of physical pleasures, corrupt pursuits of physical pleasures, or pursuits of power. And it's almost always at the expense of others in this world's way. But don't miss how subtle it can be for each of us. Not pointing the finger at you. For each and all of us, it's easy. We try to be good Christian people, but we are surrounded every day by the dominion of this world that tells us, I need to touch it. I need the material security. I need pleasure. I need to enjoy my body, or I need to resist pain at whatever cost. We all have our different ways of kind of numbing ourselves to any pain in our lives. Or power. I need to exercise influence over others. I need to be respected by others. I need the approval of others. Very subtle ways. These things can be fine. They can be gifts from God. Money and material wealth, a gift from God. Physical, the life of the body, a gift from God. Influence, power, influence in the world, community, a gift from God. If they are submitted to God. But when they have our hearts, when they preoccupy our minds, when we buy the lie that that's what life consists of, I need more of money or pleasure or power, I need other money, pleasure, or power, then my life will have its meaning. Then I will be satisfied if I only had this or that or the other. That's when we are enslaved to the kingdom of this world. And so we go through the waters of baptism. We rebel against the tyranny of sin and this world's rule of money and pleasure and power, especially at the expense of others. And we follow the revolutionary Jesus into the liberty of God's kingdom. God's kingdom, which is an eternal kingdom of love and grace. A kingdom where everyone is welcome. A kingdom that will have no end. And don't miss this, because most of the world, including people of faith, miss this. A kingdom that even now rules and reigns. God has conquered all other powers. God has conquered all competing powers. No matter how things seem, what you see in the news, what you see in the world, are the last gasps, and some of them seem pretty strong, the last grasps at the crown of this world's powers. Human, demonic, natural, whatever it may be. But the cross and the resurrection are about God conquering all competing powers. And that kingdom, even now, is covering the earth, is spreading throughout the earth. And so, in this moment of Jesus' baptism, this baptism where he humbles himself and publicly declares his allegiance to God, to God's kingdom, where he publicly participates in the life of God and God's people. This is the beginning of the revolution for Jesus and for us, his baptism and yours, for you. The beginning of the revolution. And temptation will follow. Temptation and wonder and struggle and pain and abundant life and the darkness of death will follow for Jesus as they do for us. And it all culminates in resurrection to eternal, everlasting life for Jesus and for us. But the cry of the revolution is this statement. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And all who believe in him, who receive him, I will give the power to become my sons and daughters also. Power to the people, to be the people of God. And so we look at Jesus standing there in the Jordan River, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the people inviting all to follow him, the revolutionary, into his kingdom revolution. And we make our choice. But the picture we have in front of us, given to us by Matthew the Evangelist 2,000 years ago, the picture we have in front of us is that this Jesus is the way. He is the one to follow. His revolution is the right way. And it will win. Indeed, it is accomplished. And he is looking for rebels to follow him. What better time than at the beginning of a new year to declare your allegiance in the peace of this moment with gratitude for the freedom that we have to meet right here in the open, and to declare our allegiance to this king and his kingdom. That, brothers and sisters, is the way I'm going. I'm just saying it right here in front of you. I'm following the revolutionary. I'm going his way. And I hope you will come with me. That's what the church is. It's not some place where we just come with our white gloves and we sit politely. And if you wear white gloves, that's fine. I'm just saying. Your life, most people out there believe that their life is about paying bills and waiting to die when it comes down to it. And most of us, people of faith, think that the life of faith is about paying bills, being nice, and being ready to die. And that's not it. Yes, pay your bills, be nice. You are prepared to die to go to the Lord's embrace. But the revolutionary is leading us here and now into a whole new rule and reign of God. And we must decide, number one, and then we must adjust our lives, every part of our lives, to show that, yes, I'm going after him no matter what. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're following the revolutionary. Let's pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for calling us to the revolution. Give us the courage and the faith and the power to rebel against this world's ways that we have lived for so long. You see each of us this morning, God. Help us to feel you gazing lovingly upon us, your children. You see the different paths we have gone down this way and that, looking for meaning. You see the things that shackle us and enslave us and are tyrants in our lives. Help us this morning to live free. Free enough to go running after you. And give us the wisdom and the vision for our lives. What do we need to change, God? Of what do we need to repent? What do we need to leave behind? Where do we need to change directions in our thinking, in our speaking, in our actions? May all of us, our minds, our hearts, our strength, and our souls be fully dedicated to following you in 2017 and forever. And may we do it together, rebels following the revolutionary into the kingdom of God. In whose name we pray. Amen.